You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, AJ Andrews of JaysFromTheCouch.com, and this episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, just call him Sully, it's easier, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, like this one, when it happens. I'm not gonna lie. I'm so burnt out. Just a quick refresh for those of you who are longtime listeners. This is not my day job. I do have another day job where I work in a variety of sports. And the past 2 weeks have been all Olympics, and I've been staying up until 4 in the morning because that's what's happening in Japan. And yeah, it 12-hour workdays are not great. And yeah, I just did not have the energy afterwards to be able to talk, even after a remarkable Blue Jays homestand that we're going to talk about pretty extensively today, because we're probably going to be talking about it over the next little bit, because unless Shohei Ohtani does something, the Angel series leaves a little bit to be desired. So, what happened? The Blue Jays came out of the trade deadline, which we did recap the trade deadline on our last episode, loaded up with fresh talent to take in to the Rogers Center for the first time since 2019. And they were ready. They were ready to put on a show. They swept the Royals. They took 3 of 4 from Cleveland, and then took 3 of 4 from the Red Sox, adding up to a 9-2 homestand. Very impressive. Gets the Blue Jays back into the wild card hunt, despite them still being in fourth in the division. But we'll talk about that at a later date. But yeah, it was a much needed jolt for this team. And the main person providing that jolt for the team is the guy who, you know, you wanted providing that jolt. The guy who you paid $150 million for in the offseason. George Springer. George Springer, huge in those 11 games. I'm going to borrow from Scott at Blue Jays Always, who posted a handy summary. George Springer, in those 11 games, hit .432, was on base almost half the time, .479 OBP, a .909 slugging percentage, which adds up to an OPS of 1.388, 5 home runs, 16 RBIs, 6 doubles, so, you know, more than 50% of his extra base hits going for home runs. Or extra bases. Sorry. No, that's right, technically. Almost. I don't know. Math is hard. But what's not hard is just watching that George Springer home run over and over and over again after he decked Matt Barnes. Second straight day, Matt Barnes gave up a walk-off home run. Fond memories for Red Sox fans, eh? God. But yeah, As I said in the Locked On Now that I managed to get out during a brief respite, that is exactly what George Springer was brought in to do. Especially that 3-run home run. As has been well documented with this team, they have struggled hitting in later innings. And you can throw out a lot of diagnoses for that. My personal belief is that they are a young team. They are very emotional. And they want to prove themselves at a major league level. And sometimes when you do that, you get over aggressive and try and do too much. Someone who has done this at the plate in her softball games, I kind of have a little firsthand experience. Not at that level, but the tendency of this team to want to go all out and try and be that hero. And sometimes they succeed. Bo Bichette's hit walk-off home runs in the past. Vladdy's hit a ton of big home runs. But a lot of times they go chasing that and they end up chasing very poor pitches. They let veteran relievers get the best of them. And bringing in Marcus Semien and George Springer in the offseason, not only, you know, were good positional upgrades, but brought in that kind of veteran mentality, guys who have been there, done that, and can take a second to actually wait, be patient, make the pitcher come to them. And that was on full display in that Red Sox series. Marcus Semien with the game-winning home run in the first half of the doubleheader off Matt Barnes, because, of course. But he got the first-pitch fastball. He's looking for his first-pitch fastball. Decked it. First career walked-off home run for Semien. And then Springer, off his old college buddy, just no doubt. And that's how locked in George Springer was. And for someone who, as I said, was very disappointed in that first half. Like, yeah, he was injured, but even when he was coming back, he still looked rusty. And, you know, I knew he had more. I knew he had more in him. I wanted to see more in him. This homestand is, that is peak beauty George Springer. That was, like, he was so dialed in. And, you know, give credit for Charlie Montoyo spotting a chance to jumpstart the offense, putting a Marcus Semien, who is on pace to hit like 35, 40 home runs, in the number three spot, and getting George Springer back in his comfortable leadoff position, where he had like three or four leadoff dingers during this homestand. Just feeling absolutely comfortable, absolutely at ease, and, you know, being George Springer. Because I don't think we got George Springer in the first half. I think we got the shadow of George Springer. Now we have authentic George Springer. We have him pumped up, getting cheers and plaudits from the crowd, instead of, you know, having to go through what the Astros are doing and just trying to think about that. But that was just a perfect encapsulation of why he was brought in, why he was the $150 million man, why he was the most expensive free agent in Blue Jays history, why they had to have him. I don't mean me doing that, no. So it was great to see that. I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened before that home run and why that also played a part in what happened in that Sunday game. We're going to focus on the Sunday game because, really, do we want to talk about the Royals? Do we want to talk about Cleveland? I don't really want to talk about either of those teams. Bad memories for both. So we're going to talk about what happened before that and how that kind of exemplifies this run that the Blue Jays have been on as well. But before I do that, we got to talk about Stat Hero. Stat Hero is a new way to play daily fantasy sports. Because a lot of people who play daily fantasy sports lose. 85%. I have been one of them. It's not fun. You're playing against guys who will send in thousands of other lineups. And experts who have more tools and more time. So it's almost like it's rigged. So now there's Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach, because you're not going against a bunch of other people, a bunch of other experts. You're just going against the house. Stat Hero will show you their lineup and dare you to beat them. You name your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage because Stat Hero is showing you their lineups. No one else does that. You can basically steal their lineup and just make one change and be like, he's going to do one better. Or you can just be like, no, you're entirely wrong, and just completely change the lineup. You're in total control. Stat Hero is daily fantasy sports the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. So play Stat Hero now, change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you will get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. You bet 10, they're giving you 30. So go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon, and let your expertise get you money against the house. All right, so I know this was mentioned on a broadcast, and I do want to talk about it a little bit here, just in a broader context. George Springer was set up to succeed in that Sunday game because of the work done ahead of him. And I'm gonna talk about both guys, because both guys actually deserve some credit, starting with Breivik Valera. I considered Breivik Valera an afterthought. I did not know why the Blue Jays were going to the lengths they were to protect Breivik Valera on the 40-man roster and try and make sure he wasn't sniped. They actually reacquired him, I believe, from the Padres. And then stashed him again just to make sure. And I know Breivik Valera, not really a big name. For a long time, Breivik Valera's big claim to fame was being the guy included in the Manny Machado deal from LA to Baltimore. Oh wait, Baltimore only has one player on its major league roster from that deal. That was 3 years ago. It's Dean Kramer, and he's been bad. Like 7.25 ERA this year, bad. So good work, Baltimore. That's why prospects don't matter. But they got him back off waivers last year on Canada Day from San Diego, stashed him on the roster, and then brought him up this season in a move that, you know, surprised me a little bit. They essentially DFA'd Jonathan Davis to put Breivik Valera on the roster. And I was wondering, you know, I know they have the four main outfielders. They have Corey Dickerson now. Is Breivik Valera going to be necessary with Santiago Espinal? And what we've seen with Kevin Biggio being out, is Valera's been vital in keeping things moving at the bottom of the lineup. 318 average this season for Valera, well above his career norms, but he's been able to hit for contact. He's been able to do little things at the bottom of the lineup to get on base. Espinal has done this as well. He didn't do it in Sunday's game, but Espinal has been fulfilling the same role. And having guys who can get on base at the bottom of the lineup and set the table for that mashing heart of the lineup, for George Springer to have runners on base, for Marcus Semien, for Vladdy to have runners on base like that repeatedly, just puts so much pressure on opposing pitchers. And this kind of leads me into my other point. The Blue Jays didn't have that for like the past couple years because they had to bat their catcher somewhere. And Danny Jansen's been an absolute hole on offense. Alejandro Kirk's shown flashes of why he was everyone's large adult son, but he's been injured a lot. And even then, he's not, you know, lighting the world on fire. He's batting 266 this year. So Reese McGuire, the butt of all jokes when he got caught in that Dollar Tree parking lot in Florida last year. DFA'd, had to actually work on his game to get back to the major leagues. He knew he had to work on it because off the roster, no one wanted to take a shot at him. And Reese McGuire did just that. He became someone who could more consistently get on base and not try and hurt this team as much. You know, especially after that 2020 where he was absolute garbage. 3-for-41. An .073 batting average. I thought he was done after that. I thought, okay, jam done. See you later. We got Alejandro Kirk. But he used the time off the roster to try and rework himself. He didn't actually get any at-bats in the minor leagues. He got called up due to injuries before the minor league season started. But he has produced at the bottom of the lineup at a rate more consistent with what he was doing in 2019 when he was, you know, a bit more of a statistical darling. Still not the batting average that he had in those first two cameo appearances. He's batting .275 this year. But he is back to getting on base. He is back to at least being able to work people a little bit better. And we saw that on Sunday night. The way he battled against Matt Barnes. Against Matt Barnes. I'm remembering that right. But yeah, battled against him for a 9-pitch walk. And it was rightly pointed out, that was the key at bat to get runners on first and second for Springer. And it was not easy. Because he took a 96 fastball and then fouled off 95, 95, and 96. And then Barnes just went way outside. Hilarious. But that sort of grinding at bat has been hard to find from Danny Jansen. I would argue hard to find from Alejandro Kirk as well. He's not really a I'm going to take a walk here kind of guy and just get on base. He's a I'm going to try and hit the ball because that's what I do. That kind of maturity out of Reese McGuire is huge. That's a sign that the team is growing. That's a sign that the team is learning and not trying to do too much. Just trying to stay alive. Just trying to move the chains for the next guy. How many freaking times have I preached on this podcast, just move the chains. Don't try and be a hero. Reese McGuire didn't try to be a hero, but he ended up a hero by doing that. By getting George Springer to the plate. And that's a big sign for the Blue Jays. To have that level of maturity at the plate. That's what good teams have. So that's why I'm a bit excited about that. What else am I excited about? I'm excited about Built Bar. Built Bar is great. They are the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but, you know, offers you so many more choices of flavor than a candy bar. They have fruit flavors like orange and strawberry and raspberry. They have the decadent mint brownie, cookies and cream, salted caramel. And in store right now, if you go to built.com and place your order, you can get Rocky Road with marshmallow and almond bits in it. And at 150 calories for the Rocky Road. I mean, how do you beat that? You don't. You just go get it. And that's all their bars. They range from 130 to 180 calories, 17 to 18 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. They better be sending me some of those Rocky Roads right now. But yeah, order today. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. And you will get 15% off your order. So, promo code LOCKED15. For 15% off at Built Bar. Sorry. Built.com. You don't even need the bar. BuiltBar.com will take you there. But Built.com. And get you the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. And get that Rocky Road, because, oh man, Rocky Road. Whew. And if you need more Built Bars and you think your way to getting that Built Bar money is to gamble on some sporting events, then check out betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can bet on baseball. You can bet on the NFL since that's starting. Yay. You can bet on college football since that's starting. Yay. All the football. But you can bet on soccer. You can bet on the U.S. Open coming up. Whatever you want, go to BetOnline. Check out the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. And don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the playoffs, prep for their events, whatever they're doing. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Check them out with the promo code LOCKEDON.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, this is kind of a footnote from the Sunday game. And I know I'm focusing a lot on the Sunday game, considering I haven't talked a lot about the homestand. But George Springer was the big story of the homestand. And like I said, Angels series. We'll have time to talk about the homestand a bit more and some of the things that happened. But I do want to give a shout out to the bullpen for yesterday's game. Because, you know, that was not an easy position to come into. Hyunjin Ryu looked like garbage yesterday. And I'm sure he will be the first person to tell you that. Giving up a season-high 10 hits and allowing, well, he allowed 4 runs in that stretch. Just, he did not have anything. He did not have his location down. The Red Sox are a team that punishes mistakes. And they did just that, knocking Ryu out before the fourth inning came to an end. But it was some of the lesser heralded names that came through for the Blue Jays. Patrick Murphy came in with the bases loaded, allowed all 3 inherited runners to score. So 7 runs charged Ryu. Still a tough spot for anyone to be in, major league pitcher or not. But yeah, gave up the single to J.D. Martinez. Gave up the single to Kevin Plawecki. And yeah, there's not a lot you can do about that. Especially the way those two guys have hit the Blue Jays. And I have no idea why Kevin Plawecki is this year's Trey Mancini and just destroying the Blue Jays. But after that, Murphy settled down. Retired 4 of the next 5 batters. Gave up a single to Jaron Duran, who is second coming of Jacoby Ellsbury, so whatever. Kirby Snead came in after that, and I've yet to take my full victory lap for seeing Kirby Snead at the MLB level after I've been calling for him for a couple years. But with Tim Mesa going on the IL, they need another lefty in there to maintain balance. Kirby Snead got the call. Very happy about that. Snead has done enough at the major league level to suggest that he can stay up here. Again, he gave up a run. Again, that portion of the Red Sox order that just wrecks Toronto in Martinez and Plawecki, both getting on base. Bobby Dalbec managed to find a single. So, made it 8-4, but still manageable for the Blue Jays. They're still in range. And then Snead came out for the 7th, got 2 batters. Rafael Dolis came out. And in the whole bullpen makeover, Dolis has been the forgotten man. He's essentially the 8th man at this point because they have so many other options right now. But Dolis is a luxury now that he can basically, you know, rest for a couple days and come back and hopefully still be just as good. And he was good when he needed to be. And there are times when Dolis has looked terrible this season. But he stared down the heart of that lineup. And he got Hunter Renfroe striking out, Xander Bogaerts lining out, Rafael Devers striking out. Gave up the double to J.D. Martinez because, again, just that's what that portion of the lineup does. And then getting Kevin Plawecki to pop out, finally ending the nightmare, but doing exactly what he needed to do to get the Blue Jays in position. And when you have eight guys in that bullpen that you can count on to do what you need them to do, which was not the case when guys like Tyler Chatwood and Anthony Castro were being called on to deliver late innings for this team, that is a nice feeling to have. And being able to weather the injuries they have. Joaquin Soria is already on the IL. He's pitched one inning for the Blue Jays. As I mentioned, Tim Mesa on the IL. But they have these guys coming up. They have Adam Simber and Trevor Richards right now. And Brad Hand. That is what the whole bullpen reworking was all about. To have the depth to weather these. To have guys who can still go out there and deliver. And that was crucial in that game. I wanted to highlight that before I end this. Because this is going a little long. So, just a reminder, if you're not subscribed to this podcast, why don't you do that? Just makes things easier. Wherever you get your podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app, wherever you get them, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And check out Locked On Bets while you're there. Betting doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Locked of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever I just told you. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Jays. Episode links are usually posted on Twitter. And you can follow me on there at @J_Andrews_Sahara, because Twitter is dumb. But they finally banned Aubrey Huff. So, slightly less dumb now. That lunkhead idiot is not allowed to spread his misinformation and hate. So, good on you, Twitter, for finally getting rid of that piece of garbage. And that's the tea. Anyway, I will try and do this again after the doubleheader tonight. So, until then, for everyone at the Lockdown Podcast Network and everyone at chasefromthecoach.com, I'm H.A. Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. And y'all take care.